Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jim Pierpont. He is the Chief Innovation Officer for the Corin Group. Jim, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
So for the benefit of the listeners, tell us a little bit about your background. It's not necessarily typical. I think you've had some extensive experience in research. You've got some interesting qualifications as well as a PhD. Share a little bit of what you did and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so I grew up in England. I did my university education in Leeds. It was a biomedical engineering degree, which at the time, it was the year 2000, I started mechanical engineering. And then in the sort of the second and third years, we were able to specialize into biomedical engineering, which at the time wasn't hugely popular. A lot of the engineers were going into things like automotive and aeronautical. I'd done biology A-level, had a very, a big interest in biology, and it seemed perfect for my, my skill set and my interests. So I was one of only two people that did biomedical engineering at the University of Leeds. I spent a year doing my master's in the US, again in bioengineering, and then ended up moving to Australia in 2004, where basically throughout my degree at the University of Leeds, Johnson & Johnson's orthopedic subsidiary, DePuy, have their European head office in Leeds. And so throughout the course, there was a lot of their technical people and salespeople were coming in, teaching us a lot about orthopedic biomechanics, which really sort of flagged an interest. And so pretty much straight out of university, I went to the orthopedic companies looking for jobs. I was in Australia. There was very few engineering jobs in Australia. So I actually found myself doing a sales role for a small orthopedic company initially before moving to one of the bigger manufacturers, a company called Stryker, where I worked in their sales and marketing team, very much focused on technology. So selling navigation systems, patient-specific guides. 2010, a couple of my colleagues were leaving Stryker to go and set up their own startup organization around using technology, bringing technology into the preoperative planning stages of total hip and total knee arthroplasty. And so I joined them. And basically since 2010, I went back into the development side, did my PhD on patient-specific planning in total hip replacements. We developed a dynamic planning solution, which is called OPS, which Corin acquired in 2014. And from that point, I've continued, with Corin, and we've grown the technology offering and progressed all the way through to where we are today in terms of the clinical innovation officer. So it's been a ride very much focused on orthopedics. I've done nothing other than orthopedics and joint replacement.
So it's interesting. There's a number of threads in there that I think must have informed much of your sort of decision-making, informs where you are now. So you had some experience with sales, which is very different. Obviously, seeing others, going into different career directions with, automotive as a sort of big target, but you flexed slightly differently. You ended up at Corin Group. Tell us a little bit about them, because they're doing some interesting things around orthopedics and the way that we can deliver joint replacements, something that we've been doing for a long time, but has really been, fairly static in terms of process and innovation.
Yeah, that's right. So with the startup company I was working for, 2010 to 2014, we partnered with Corin in the latter 2 years there. So Corin were one of our distributors, we distributed the Corin product, and that's relationship evolved. And so, as I say, in 2014, Corin acquired the startup company, and that was mainly the CEO, or our CEO still now, Stefano Alfonsi. He put a consortium together to buy Corin Group 2013. At the time, Corin had a very, and still does have a very solid, clinically proven implant portfolio. But in joint replacements, the implants are becoming somewhat commoditized. If you look around all the different product ranges, all the big companies, even all the small companies will have almost identical products. And I think if they're put in correctly, they'll all do reasonably well. So the differentiation, the incremental improvement in joint arthroplasty, we felt, and he felt, was going to come from technology. We still believe that to this day. And so that, I suppose the first step in this journey was the acquisition of Optimized Ortho, or this OPS technology, this hip planning technology, which really, you know, it provides more insights to the surgeon. It's a preoperative dynamic planning tool to work out where to put the components for each patient. It just provides more insights to the surgeon, again, where to put those components. Since that point, we've continued to develop our own technologies in hip and knee. We've partnered with companies outside of orthopedics. And basically the whole concept of this evolution for the last 4 or 5 years is to not just develop these technologies which individually bring huge value. So these personalized technologies, which, you know, again, add value just by themselves. But once we start to make them smart, or we connect these, you know, we can connect all these to the cloud so they can talk to one another, they can communicate, the value of those actionable insights, which each of these different systems is generating, you know, the value becomes, you know, it's just exponential. And so that's been the real vision, has been connecting our different technology products and then presenting and utilizing the actionable insights that they generate to drive improved outcomes.
So you mentioned something really critical in there that sort of stands out to me, you know, with the commoditization of those replacement. So, you know, I think appropriate narrowing of science that essentially continues to refine so that everybody gets to the same sort of innovation. And, you know, at some point there may be some stepwise function one would expect, but until that time, you want then to maximize that. And you said something right at the beginning, inserted correctly. And that's really the sort of central tenet of this, that is, you can have any joint, but if you don't put it in the right way, you end up with problems. So tell us a little bit about how you're doing that and what the sort of background to this OPS system is.
Yeah, so I mean, that's exactly right. I think, you know, if you give any of these implants to the right surgeon, you'll get a great result, because they'll probably put them in, you know, the right position. So what did we basically, historically, for implant positioning in total hips here, I'm specifically speaking about, but the guidelines have been generic. In actual, a paper that is still, it's the 17th most referenced paper in orthopedics, was a paper by a spinal surgeon in the US called George Lewinek. That was published in 1978. So that's still very well referenced today. And it wouldn't get in any of the big journals nowadays. It's not the best science. These guidelines exist of where to put the acetabular component, the socket component, and where to put the femoral component. In reality, these guidelines were built on very static imaging, you know, routine static X-rays. Our premise for the startup organization, the OPS technology, was to try and build dynamic modeling preoperatively so we can actually analyze the performance of the artificial joint in a dynamic scenario as opposed to a static scenario. And by analyzing it dynamically, we actually found that the optimized position, A, was different for each individual, but B, was very different to the generic guidelines. And so that's basically the technology analyzes each patient dynamically through a couple of different dynamic activities preoperatively and works out the patient-specific alignment of those components.
So it's kind of shocking to hear that when you say 1978. And, you know, the medicine is replete with these examples. You know, temperature is a hot topic currently with COVID-19, and everybody's going 100.4 here in the US. Sorry, can't translate that anymore into Celsius, but whatever it is. And that dates back 100 years from a small study. And here you're saying 42 years ago, from static images, they defined it and said, here are your big groups. Those are the things. So how do you do this? I mean, you're talking about something that's now dynamic. So what's the process to create those images, and how do you go about that? And then how do you model it so that you can customize essentially down to the individual, I imagine?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely, I mean, a big input there is the imaging, as you quite rightly say. So I think, you know, most still routine total hip replacements will get an AP X-ray, an X-ray from the front. And that's how basically, you know, the procedure or the component sizing is planned. The premise here was to utilize additional imaging. So we get a CT scan, which enables us to build the 3D representation of the patient's anatomy. And then we also take some x-rays in some functional positions. So we take standing and then into sitting, getting out of a chair type x-rays. And we utilize the information from the x-rays plus the information from the CT scan, the 3D models, to build a what's called a rigid body dynamics simulation. So we actually build a dynamic simulation to look at the forces and collisions between the different components and use that information to basically work out what is the optimal alignment for that particular individual. So it's basically utilizing one thing we wanted to make, from a scalability perspective, we needed to ensure that we were relying on inputs that were, that were scalable. So i.e. standard imaging, whether it be CT or X-ray, yes, we could have used things like motion capture and gait analysis, but in terms of a cost and scalability perspective, that probably wasn't going to be possible to roll that out in tens of thousand cases across the globe.
So sounds like a complicated process. There's a part of me that thinks, you couldn't have done this back then. To be clear, I don't think we had the processing capabilities, perhaps the software. We've sort of advanced. You've added all that in, obviously done substantial research to sort of validate this. Can you share a little bit of the sort of experience of using that and the outcomes? Do you have some examples of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one thing first and foremost, I can't emphasize enough the importance, obviously, that the relationship that we have with the clinicians that have contributed to the development. We've had from that specific product, we had a team of six surgeons who have guided us through here, providing clinical input, to ensure that the product is relevant first and foremost. So, and they've obviously helped us publish as well. So we've published probably 10, 15 papers on the theoretical, the theory behind, the need for a patient-specific alignment. I think very nicely, that area is probably one of the most, debated or published topics at the moment is patient-specific alignment in total hip replacement. So it's not just our research that's contributing to this body of evidence. And then I think registries are the best in terms of outcomes of the value of the technology. It's things like registries. So whether it be in Australia or Britain, there are joint replacement registries, and we've shown significant reductions in things like dislocation and loosening, but after use of this technology, when compared to just utilizing the implants without OPS. So I think registries, we're running a big randomized controlled trial at Oxford at the moment as well. So I think it's an important piece, and you identified it. It's an important piece that we scrutinize the outcomes of these technologies, throughout.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, I'm the incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Jim Pierrepoint. He is the Chief Innovation Officer for Corin Group. We were just talking about OPS, which is the optimized positioning system that is used. It essentially gathers in data, imaging data. It's functional imaging. It includes three-dimensional creation, does modeling. How do the clinicians interact with that? What's the process that they go through? Is this something that's applied to all patients? What's going on there?
Yeah, so some surgeons are using it in every patient, absolutely. Some surgeons are using it in select patients that they think need a particular higher level of analysis. It varies. How they interact with it has been a big, so previously this information was presented in PDF reports. Over the last 12 months or the last 2 years, we've developed OPS Insight, which is the next generation of this product, which is basically the ability to now interact with all of this information and this planning in the cloud. And it's been the absolute, the first product in our connected digital ecosystem, which is Corin Connect. So it's been the first point of call, our first connected or smart product, which is going to enable our customers to plan these cases in the cloud. So now we're just rolling that out across Australia and the US in a couple of months' time. But the surgeon will access Corin Connect, and they'll have all their different connected technologies that Corin provide within that platform. They'll, if they're using OPS, they'll see that patient in their dashboard, and they can click through again, all cloud-based, and they can, it's completely interactive. They can change different implants, they can move the components around in space, they can see impingement, collision detections, they can see density of bones. It's all there. And what I like to believe is a really slick user interface and user experience, which I think is going to be critical as we continue to iterate with this concept of a digital ecosystem. But now, yeah, they're absolutely, they're interacting with it anywhere, anytime via the cloud.
So I ask you a personal question here. You know, at some point, I certainly think about this, you know, we face off the idea that we'd need a joint replacement. Would you want this for your joint replacement?
That was the question. It's funny you say that. That was a question that, again, the two guys that started the startup, we used to ask ourselves that every single day. You know, would, you know, is this good enough that you would recommend that your mother having a hip replacement would get this? So we used to check ourselves on that. And the answer is yes, 100%. 100%. You know, there's just so much more information that this is providing. You know, I think you could, if you spoke to some of the surgeons using it, they almost feel a little bit naked going into a standard total hip without this additional information.
It, you know, it's funny, and I've done some of these surgeries, and you know, I remember the selection process and how simplistic it was, and you know, certainly from a positioning, I know that you know things have advanced significantly, but the idea that this is still based on a sort of, you know, best guess grouping in large groups with, you know, the traditional distribution, and those two tails are pretty significant. They're significant if you're in them. You don't want to be in them. You want the best possible result. So I think, you know, essential technology that everybody should be looking for. You talked a little bit about Corin Connect, and that's intriguing because, of course, that's now taking us into some domain of data, which everybody's talking about. And, you know, my sense of this is that you're going to start getting insights out of this that will potentially drive both research, but also perhaps even customization that helps guide based on the experiences. Assuming that you get some feedback, are you getting feedback through this whole system from the results?
Yeah, exactly. So that is, I mean, that has been the big strategy, Corin's vision for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, OPS was the first increment in that technology vision. And as I said before, we've deployed multiple different technology applications, you know, at different stages of the patient arthroplasty journey. But the big focus has been connecting. So making those products, we're not making any products or technology offerings, digital products that are not smart, that are not connected to the cloud, for the exact reason that you say, that all of the insights that they're generating are getting pushed to the cloud, and we're then collating all of that clinical information in what we're calling the Corin registry. So for an individual patient, we might have multiple different insights, whether it be pre, intra, post-operatively. And what that enables us to do is to aggregate that information, combine that information, quantify arthroplasty for the first time, analyze that and present it back to our customers on a customized dashboard. So now they can see, and they're going to start to be able to see what does it mean if I do a particular alignment of a knee replacement on outcomes. What does it mean when I use this size stem in a total hip replacement? How does it affect outcomes? So we're suddenly able to quantify arthroplasty and make it a seamless experience so that they can review results across all these different technology platforms. And you know, in the future, there's a next step, and we're doing that now. So we have probably two or three of our digital technologies are connected, two more coming in, with the next release in a couple of months' time. And by the end of the year, we'll have our robotics platform, which is used intraoperatively to execute on the surgery. That will also be connected. In future, in the coming years, we're going to obviously utilize the Corin registry for some artificial intelligence. You know, we're going to be able to feedback, complete some AI algorithms, some predictive analytics, which can complete that feedback loop and go back into driving better features within the different technology applications themselves. So it's, that's the vision. It's been evolving for 4 or 5 years. It's exciting. Right now, we are just deploying Corin Connect in Australia, in Europe, in the US. And again, everything we're doing now is being connected into this ecosystem. So it's a really exciting time, and that's our vision. I think we're seeing some of our competitors, they're probably maybe a year or two behind, but they're also sharing a similar vision. But it's in reality, these digital ecosystems is the way healthcare is going. I don't see any other outcome in terms of the healthcare industry.
Yeah, and it's the blending of this with, I think the piece that you haven't talked about but must be there is the patient contribution to this. So actually engaging with patients, and it sounds like you're doing that pre, and maybe during, but you know, certainly post, to get that feedback on the individual.
Correct. Yeah, exactly right. So there's not just applications for the surgeon, there's applications for the patient. So we have what's called our Corin RPM app, a remote patient management. It's an app on the patient's smartphone, which basically guides them through their surgery. So it provides the right information at the right time. It can help them with their prehab and their rehab. So it's really sort of a partner, a digital partner, as the patient makes their way through this, you know, through this arthroplasty experience, from pre, intra, hospital stay to, you know, 1-2 years post-operative as well.
So I imagine that sort of goes a little bit further than that, that says, you know, you talked about stem length, you know, positioning, offset and so forth, starting to tie that back to results and maybe customization of the rehabilitation for those patients based on the data that's coming out, because now suddenly you're actually tracking that, whereas historically, I think we tried to, but we didn't do a particularly good job.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So customization of the entire, whether it be the rehab, the prehab, the alignment, types of procedures, you know, we can utilize all of that to completely customize the patient experience. Yeah, for each individual. That is fundamentally the concept, to utilize the information to further customize the treatment.
So a few minutes left, you know, I think exciting opportunities. Let me try and get you to sort of look into the crystal ball. And I want to give you a couple of things that sort of occur to me as, you know, you've been talking. So first of all, you know, all of this data to help guide future innovation, perhaps refinement. Maybe we'll see a step change of, you know, these joints as you start to learn more with the biomechanics. But one of the things that I think we might see is potentially the introduction of sensors in some of these joints that would feed into this, that would start to give real-time information. But I don't want to sort of preempt. So tell me where you see this going in the time that we've got left.
Absolutely. They exist now. There's a couple of companies working on exactly that, smart implants. Clearly, that's one avenue. Clearly, the artificial intelligence, you know, once we've got enough data, we can do some really, you know, some really exciting artificial intelligence. Do these, I think, connecting into, we can't be narrow-minded in thinking the world's going to revolve around Corin Connect. We've got to integrate with other healthcare ecosystems, whether that be in the hospital, whether that be in the surgeon's clinic. So I start to see these sort of combined, you know, double connections, connected ecosystems, you know, multiple ecosystems connecting. Do they become, it, you know, at the moment, of course, Corin Connect is a closed platform for Corin, but as, you know, if we do a good job and maybe these, you know, maybe we start to open these platforms up to other companies to access as well. So there's a wealth of different digital technologies entering orthopedics. It's going to be a really exciting time. Everyone seems to be clambering and heading to the same direction, which is going to be even more interesting. Fundamentally, I think, you know, by developing and deploying connected digital products, it's going to enhance healthcare value, increase outcomes, decrease cost. It is, I don't see any other way forward in terms of the orthopedic industry, outside of, you know, connected orthopedic insight.
Well, I know personally, as I think about, you know, the potential for a joint, I certainly want this. You know, this is the customized solution for me and the ability to sort of feed in. Excited about the innovation. I'm wondering if some of your ex-study colleagues that have gone into the automotive industry maybe have some insights that, you know, they can share as to what they're doing in their world that potentially shares across this. But exciting times. I think, you know, fantastic innovations. Just remains for me to thank you for joining me today. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Privileged to be here. Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.